From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope.
Your eternal word, O Lord, stands firm in heaven.
Your faithfulness extends to every generation, as enduring as the earth you created.
Your regulations remain true to this day, for everything serves your plans.
Your instructions have sustained me with joy. I will never die in my misery.
I will never forget your commandments. Would you please join me in the prayer of the day? Gracious Heavenly Father, you are great. You're greater than all our wants. Nothing we desire compares to you. Your greatness is visible all around us in our lives, in the prayers you answer, and in the beauty of the created world we see. We praise you and honor you, praying in the name of Jesus Christ, the one we follow in this life, who leads us to life eternal. Amen.
Our special music was provided by Trenton Kiesling, playing Blessed Assurance in a beautiful piano rendition. Old Testament and Epistle lessons are read by Andrea Hughes.
The first reading this morning is from the second book, the Kings, chapter 4, verses 42 through 44. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and fresh ears of grain in his sack. And Elijah said, "Give to the men that they may eat." But his servant said, "How am I to set this before 100 men?" So he repeated, "Give them to the men that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." So he set it before them, and they ate, and they had some left, according to the word of the Lord. The second reading is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. "For this reason, I bowed my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses the knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen."
Our guest speaker this morning, reading the gospel lesson from the book of John and presenting his sermon, Love of Christ, is our own church member, Alan Martinson.
The gospel lesson this morning comes to us from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 21. After this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him everywhere he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same thing with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told the disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so nothing is wasted." So they picked up all the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. When the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, "Surely he is the prophet we have been expecting." When Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself. I guess we all have our own idea of what a miracle is. How would you define a miracle? What does the word miracle mean to you? Is it the fact that you got out of bed this morning? How about the fact that you made it to church today? Is that a miracle? I guess we all have our own idea what a miracle is. I looked on the internet to see what it said about a miracle, and I was very disappointed. One definition said a miracle is an amazing product or achievement or an outstanding example of something. So I guess that means an Instapot or a salad shooter is a miracle, right? Microwave oven, maybe. The second definition said a highly improbable, extraordinary event, development, or accomplishment that brings very welcome consequences. So I guess that means an underdog victory at the Super Bowl qualifies as a miracle. And the third definition was a surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency. You know, they can't quite give God the credit. From a divine agency? Really? Makes it sound like God works for a branch of the government. Webster defines a miracle as an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. That's a little closer. And then the second definition is an extremely outstanding or unusual event, thing, or accomplishment. For example, the bridge is a miracle of engineering. Come on, a bridge? Really? Engineering is based on mathematics and physics, but a miracle? Bridges can be quite amazing. I've seen the Golden Gate Bridge. That's a very amazing bridge, but it's not a miracle. I really think all those insightful, well-educated, in-the-know people in the world really don't have a handle on what a miracle is. Wouldn't it be much simpler just to say a miracle is an act of God that defies human logic? It's something God does that we as human beings can't explain or understand. In today's gospel lesson, there are two miracles. Surprised? One is obvious, and one maybe not so obvious. When Renee told me what the liturgy for this Sunday was, I cringed. The story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 is a great story, but we've heard it so many times. I wondered how I could make this message different. What could I find in the scripture that would be a new or fresh way to look at this story we've heard so many times? How could I bring new meaning to that miracle? This is truly one of the great miracles Jesus performed while here on earth. It is important to the gospel writers because the story appears in all four gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And each version is almost the same. John's version has one slight difference. Jesus had been teaching and debating with the Pharisees for most of the day. The disciples were going out and spreading the news of Jesus' teaching. If you remember, a few weeks ago, Jesus told them to go out two by two. And he told them not to take any food with them and to rely on the hospitality of the people they visited. Now, this all takes place after John the Baptist was killed by King Herod. And there was no doubt this had to be weighing heavily on Jesus' mind. It had been a long day. Jesus and the disciples needed rest. They just needed to get away. They needed to gather their thoughts and put their minds around John's death. So they left the place where the people were gathered. They crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee. And they looked for a peaceful place to go. They climbed this hill and they sat down together. It wasn't long and a huge crowd came following them up the hill. They watched. They had watched Jesus and the disciples from the shore and followed them to the place where they had went. As the crowd arrived, there were sick among them. Jesus saw them, he had compassion on them, and he healed them. As tired as he was from the long day, and with the news of the death of John the Baptist weighing on his heart, he still took the time to heal the sick among the crowd. As night grew near, the disciples became concerned. How are all these people going to eat? Had no one brought any food, what would they do? Some of the disciples said, well, let's send them all home. They can get their own food at their own home, and we won't have to worry about it. Jesus turned to Philip, and he tested him and asked him where they could buy enough food to feed all the people. Well, Philip, being an intellectual, considered the situation, and he responded, even if we worked for months, we couldn't buy enough food to feed all these people. It just seemed like a lost cause. There were approximately 5,000 men and their families. Some have estimated there could have been as many as 15,000 to 20,000 people. Andrew spoke up and said there was a young boy who had 5 loaves and 2 fish. But how could they feed the people with such a small amount of food? Jesus instructed the disciples to have the people sit down, and he instructed them to distribute the food, and everyone ate. All 15,000 people ate. All had food, more than enough to be full, and they collected 12 baskets of food left over. How did Jesus do this? This defies human logic. How did he take 2 fish and 5 loaves and feed the people? It's a great message. And for Christians everywhere, it's a great miracle. John's gospel is the only one that mentions the source of the loaves and the fish. A boy brought all the food he had with him. What he had, he gave. And God made more than enough out of it. More than anyone, Jesus knows the word compassion. He had the ability to look into the hearts of those who were hurting, and he could see into the hearts of those around him. He knew what you were thinking and feeling. What if I walked up to you this morning and told you I could see what was in your heart? Would that make you feel uncomfortable? Would that be a good thing? Would you be embarrassed? What if I could tell you, or better yet, if I could tell everyone here exactly what you were thinking? Jesus had this miraculous ability to see inside the human heart. With compassion, he touched a man with leprosy. It was forbidden for anyone to touch someone with leprosy. But Jesus saw the pain in his eyes. He saw the hurt of being outcast from society. He looked into the man's heart, and he felt that pain and that hurt, and it became his own. It permeated his very being. The love of Christ poured out in return, and Jesus healed the leper with just a touch of his hand. Not many weeks ago, we heard the story of Jairus' daughter, who was near death and who died before Jesus got there. Jairus was destroyed that his 12-year-old daughter was dead. Losing a child is a horrific, gut-wrenching experience. Jesus saw Jairus' pain. He felt his pain, and he healed the little girl. On the way to heal her, a woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years had just touched the hem of his garment and was healed instantly. The compassion of Christ was in every part of his being. In the shortest verse in the Bible, it reads, Jesus wept. The Son of God wept not over the death of Lazarus, because he knew Lazarus would be raised from the dead. He wept because Mary and Martha were weeping over their brother. He felt their sorrow. He hurt like they hurt. You can't have compassion without a great love, and that love comes from the Father, a love that was born into Jesus. It didn't matter if you were rich or poor, he loved one and all. We are all familiar with the scripture in John, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Most of us hear that verse, but we really don't hear how it was meant to be heard. We don't hear it with the proper emphasis. It's often read like an elementary school student would read a sentence out of a textbook. With the proper emphasis, it reads like this: God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loves the world. He so loves us. This love and compassion has been a part of God from the very beginning. We often hear the phrase, God is love. Never more is that love depicted than in the life and compassion of Jesus Christ. The compassion of Jesus is the compassion and love of God. About 22 years ago, I got up in front of my mom and dad's church at their 40th wedding anniversary, and I invited the congregation to their anniversary celebration. And I told the congregation what my parents meant to me and my brothers. I told them that mom and dad had instilled in us a faith that would see us through anything life could send our way. Little did I know, when I said that, 21 years later, those words would be put to the test. Dad was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer toward the end of October last year. He had been sick for several weeks before he was diagnosed. I felt like my world had been turned upside down when we heard the diagnosis. There was very little hope for Dad. He committed to doing chemo. The chemo made him sicker. And eventually, he couldn't go on with treatments and decided to call hospice in. There are many kinds of cancer in the world. Many are treatable. Some are beatable. Some are not. Each person reacts differently to cancer and to the chemo. I could see Dad was losing the fight. And each night I left his bedside and went back home, I prayed on the ride home. I prayed for a miracle, a healing that only God could give. I prayed that same prayer over and over again. I never prayed so hard in my life. There were many others praying for him too. As time went on, each day was a little worse than the day before. Before it was over, I had prayed for God to take my dad's cancer and give it to me. If someone had to carry that burden, I would carry it for him. God did not answer my prayers. He didn't answer them the way I wanted him to. He didn't give me Dad's cancer. And Dad didn't get to stay with us. I hurt more than I ever have hurt in my life. If you spend 60 years with someone, you kind of get attached to them. I blamed God for a while for not answering my prayers. I was angry, but I was wrong. God answered my prayers. He had healed my dad, but not the way I wanted. Dad doesn't hurt anymore, and he is no longer sick. He is with the Heavenly Father and enjoying the rewards of his faith. During Dad's illness, I learned a lot about compassion. I thought I was always a compassionate person. After all, I cared about people. I really cared, but was never good at showing people how much I cared. Compassion is more than just caring. Compassion, real compassion, requires that you do something about it. I will never be capable of the compassion on the level of Jesus, but my compassion has grown over this past year. It's not possible without love, the same love that God shows us. The compassion of Christ is the real miracle today. He came to this earth to give us a way to return to God. He came to give us a path to salvation, a path to redemption, a path to an eternal relationship with God. It is his compassion and God's love that makes every miracle that happens possible. Miracles are all around us every day. Even the simplest things sometimes are miracles from God. Compassion for most of us is something that must be learned, and very often it does not come without a price. Many of us don't want to put ourselves out there. We have excuses like, I don't know what to say to someone who has cancer. Or, how can I help someone who is terminally ill? Or, I'm just too busy. Rhonda, my wife, has a plaque on a wall in her office. It reads, "The biggest mistake you can ever make is being afraid to make one." Just like the story of the loaves and the fishes, God makes the difference. The compassion of Christ can make something out of very little. A boy with his lunch who was willing to give what he had fed 15,000 people. We all have something to give, and that's what God wants from us. Just to give what we have. Just like the boy, give what you have. God can take some of the seemingly most insignificant things and touch the lives of people everywhere. You know, Missouri is kind of an insignificant state in the whole country. We're not in the news like New York or Florida or Texas or some of those other states. And California, Missouri is kind of a small little town in Missouri. And in California, there's a small street named Lake Street. And on Lake Street is a small little house. And in that small little house is a small kitchen. And a small but very special lady lives there. And from that small kitchen and from the hands of that little lady comes a lot of love. She touches lives all around her in the form of her pies and cookies. Many of you know Alberta Rich. She has touched my life many times with her wonderful pies. And she touched my dad's life too. He always loved her coconut cream pie. Several times when he was sick, he asked me, "How's the pie lady doing?" She had touched his life with God's love. She does something that we all have the power to do. But I'm not talking about making pies, because I'm pretty sure I can't make a pie like Alberta can. That would be a miracle. But she gives what she has. She does what she knows and what she can. Just like the boy who gave his lunch for the crowd, she is willing to do what she can. You know, we all can find a way to touch the lives of others. We just have to make it a priority. We have to put our needs on the back burner. We can all share the love of Christ. We can all learn a greater level of compassion than we ever thought possible. The love of Christ and the compassion of Christ. These are the miracles today. And yes, Jesus fed the people that day. But it wasn't fish and loaves of bread they received. It was the bread of life. Life everlasting. Jesus fed them and they were never hungry again. Jesus commissioned his disciples and he commissions us today. Have compassion on those around you. Share God's love with the sick, the hurting, the dying, the lost, the troubled. There are needs all around us. Let the compassion of Christ move you to share God's love and to be an instrument of his love to everyone you meet. May the love and compassion of Christ live inside each of us today and every day and forevermore. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.